Hello, everybody. Todd Griffin here with Company. Let me give my disclaimer before we get started in this open dialogue conversation. Okay. Here in this podcast, we do not observe any political views, religious stance, ideologies, or any identity preferences. We are people here, and if any topics of such that are hot button topics that cause controversy, that will be asked once to cease, and if you're asked again, you shall be asked to leave and shall be locked out of the chat or the podcast without reoccurrence. So, with that being said, this is Hallowed Ground. And the topics here are of Jediism, personal growth, and spirituality. Now, with all that being said, let's get on with this. And this will be an open dialogue as we go along. So basically, what I'm saying is I hadn't really thought about a topic, but other than just a couple of selected topics. So with that being said, let's go forth and shall venture upon. Thank you. So, what we were talking about are a couple of codes. And we were talking about the Revanite codes, two of them, and along with the Gray Code, which I would assume are probably not talked about unless you're in those circles of practice and follow. So, here on this podcast, I will venture off the beaten path of Jediism, and but within Jediism, because knowledge is the foundation, is it not?
Well, you're just quoting one of the lines from the Revanite Code at this point.
Well, yeah, but knowledge is part of the light code as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But literally, word for word, one of the lines of the Revanite Code goes, "Without knowledge, there is no foundation."
Huh. Count that for my upbringing, okay?
Well, also, I just had read out the Revanite Code, so it was
You
probably
did. So, with that being said, and with us with that, let's go from that one first, okay? Since it seems to be poking its head out of its mole burrow. Or here, where I live, we got prairie dogs. So it's poking out of its hole and its burrow. Let's go with that one. So which code is it you have there with us?
The true Revanite Code.
All right. Let's go with it.
Okay. It goes, without emotion, there is no compassion. Without peace, there is no rest. Without ignorance, there is no learning. Without knowledge, there is no foundation. Without passion, there is no beauty. Without serenity, there is no contemplation. Without death, there is no life. Without the force, there is no one. Without the dark side, there is no ambition. Without the light side, there is no temperance.
Wow. You know, when I heard that before we started recording, I when I did hear that, I'm like, that is very true to a couple of aspects. Okay. There is no death without life, right? Okay. That without the appreciation of life, and when one faces death, well, that's kind of self said. You know, people say, and it's said, and I think in like the samurai discipline, one prepares for death in life. Right. So and one must be willing to embrace death in order to live.
Something that I had learned in college when I was taking some art classes, we were studying this thing called ephemeral art, which is art that's usually created using nature that is meant to pass away over time. And
right.
The main things that they were teaching about it was creating something that will eventually be gone. Like, you might be making something out of leaves or rock, but eventually that's going to fade away. That's not going to last forever. Or you'll have like these incredible ice sculptures that melt. And it's like, right. It's beautiful while it's here. And it's valuable for like the experience of experiencing that thing.
Right.
And the fact that it has some sort of ending time that, oh, it's just going to last until this, makes it more precious.
Yeah.
It's still there.
Very, very much so. Because, I mean, you know, I know on this podcast, I talk a lot about survival and very much a disciplined life in self-searching. And with just reason, because in this, we can't develop and grow without that. But however, I don't ever touch on the appreciation of life itself and its meaning. I'm very much a...
Well, a lot of this code very much is about that appreciation.
Yeah, and you know, with passion, without passion, there is no beauty. Okay. We all have a passion. And with that, how can we not appreciate the beauty in things, right? Love, cherishing things, right? Because that is a passion. It comes from passion. You know, and if one doesn't have that passion, then are you truly alive? Are you living? And say a flower, for example, right? That stirs an emotion. A rose is a representation of emotions. Love, friendship, starting over. There's passion in there. And they have their meanings. You know, the red is love. The yellow is what? Friendship or something, I think. Don't quote me on that. But white is like purity and starting over or starting from anew, I think. So
that'll depend on the culture, too.
Yeah, right. Granted. I'm going with just what I vaguely scanned over or read at some point, depending on the meeting. And you've got a point there, yeah. Depending on the culture, but I think in essence, we also can recognize beauty and life itself is. And does have a beauty to it. So I think that the Revenite code there has a lot to say on this. And carry on, read another line again.
Do you want me to start with the first one?
Let's go down to like the third line.
Without ignorance, there is no learning.
Right. See, and that relates in a way.
And then the line after that is, without knowledge, there is no foundation.
Right. So, part of, in comparison with the Jedi Code, that without ignorance,
knowledge.
There is no knowledge, right? So, those two coincide very much. We have to have that knowledge. And to, in order to grow as a person, for where am I lacking? Where do I need to grow? Where do I need to strengthen? Okay, where are my flaws? And in a way, this code here, I don't think is actually given enough validation. And this is where I think the Jedi community shorts themselves. And ignoring these other codes, because they say so much, instead of just streamlining a practice. And let's go back a bit about Revan, Darth Revan, as some knew him as, or as what he went by, a Revan. He had a very checkered past, right? He was light, went to the dark side, and then redeemed himself and came back to the light, but always battled with that internally. So I think in this, from that, he spoke from experience, and that we know that Revan did practice a lot of dark side technique and in some views. So passion, as I was saying, is driven from emotions. And I would think in certain cases, those emotions can make the difference. You know, empathy, for example, right? That is the understanding and sharing of an emotion, is it not? Compassion is understanding how one is. Understanding. You know, the saying goes, it's better to understand than to be understood, which goes to ignorance and knowledge. So, and that in a way, I think, touches on detachment. But however, in what we're talking about here with this Revan code, very much deals with emotion and the pursuit of life and its cherish and its being cherished. Let's continue.
Without emotion, there is no compassion. Without peace, there is no rest.
Right. Right. So, Xenon, what's your take on that part?
Can it be repeated, please?
Without emotion, there is no compassion. Without peace, there is no rest.
Okay, so the first part, you have to be able to experience your own emotions and know how to work with them in order to show empathy with another person.
Right, right. And that goes along with compassion, understanding. And that I'll admit I'm a bit out of my box of normalcy here but also too, I can see where compassion and the understanding of emotions. Because if we understand our own emotions, Wouldn't you agree, Xenon?
Exactly. And then it also kind of encompasses the idea that you can show compassion for another person and what they're going through, and maybe their actions that might not align with yours, or maybe they're just going down a dark path, but being able to show compassion and have that empathy and being able to discern that there's a difference between having that empathy and completely pushing them away for their wrong decisions.
Yeah. So let's look into empathy. What is empathy? Empathy is what? The understanding of why somebody did something, right? And seeing it from their point of view. Understanding. It don't want excuse, but that's where compassion comes in. You see things with an understanding or gain an understanding, right? So I have to give credence to this code. I think it, if the Jedi were as a whole to study this code, I think there would be a greater union.
I think on the topic of those lines of codes that we were discussing about like the emotion and compassion,
Yeah.
growing up, I was just taught like maybe two or three emotions, and what they were.
Right.
I was taught what sadness was.
Yeah.
I was taught what joy was, which is the combination of sadness and like happy, and it's kind of like a hope. But and I understood what frustration was, but outside of that, most of the other emotions I hadn't learned until after high school or
Right.
even years following that.
Right. Well, joy, no names called, no names said, not in reference to anybody, but joy is also in conjunction with happiness, with being content.
I didn't understand it outside of sadness also being present.
That's where I think some of the lessons that I've taught you, that I've had you study, confuse you. The lack of being taught that. Now, when I was growing up, I experienced in growing up three emotions. But I did experience happiness and joy, okay, and excitement and a passion, which for some people, how they've grown up will only be shown certain things and taught certain things. But I think also that shortcuts and lessens a person's understanding. So, emotions are really a basic foundation to existence. And I've had to learn the emotions myself. I've had to learn more into them. I've had to study more into them. The longer I've been in this path and on this path, the more I've had to understand emotions and my own emotions. That emotions, there are basic emotions, and then there are mixtures of, you know, sadness and disappointment are very synonymous with each other. Okay. You can't have joy and be sad at the same time. Okay. That cancels the other out. And that is
joy,
a very
joy is being happy despite of sadness being present. It doesn't mean that sadness isn't there.
Well, the thing is though, is that say we're talking about a moment. Okay. In, say, an unfortunate event has happened where somebody is no longer present on the planet, okay? Though it might have been untimely. We would want to remember that person in their best light. And the disappointment that they can't be there. However, don't waste the joyfulness with the sadness. Okay, don't taint it. And keep, and I think keeping the two in and related is important.
From how it was explained to me, joy is more of like a hopefulness.
Very much so.
Sadness, but it's the combination. It's sadness being present, but there's also like a happiness and a hope with it.
Yes, yes, there is. And joy is, I believe, very much a state of being joyful. And celebrate, and celebratory, and celebration. Happiness also is as well. And that, like, when we get together and do this podcast, I am happy that we're doing this. This brings a highlight because I'm passionate about this. And even though it's got its flaws, it's not the best podcast out there. There are better, granted. But however, this brings me joy because I enjoy doing this. Whether me be maybe speaking out of my ass or have actually having guests on here and there be a very in-depth conversation. This is an emotional thing. And granted, we've had breaks here in the last month or two, but that is also needed. And which brings me to this. Peace and rest. Did you like that segue there?
Well, also, like, I had to get happiness explained to me outside of the concept of joy.
Yeah.
And so, how Zenon had explained it to me was like a type of peace. So if you're feeling peaceful, you're probably happy.
Right. Right. Now, yeah. Now you shared with me yesterday a big event that happened in your life, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you won first, second, and third place overall in a bonsai competition, that when you shared this information with me, there was joy in that. And that has a sense of accomplishment to it, which can cause restfulness. Not restless, but restfulness, because that brought joy and that there's hope, right?
Yeah.
You had a positive event. It's a positive experience. So I think underlying joy and peace are that state where one is in that place of oneness with themselves and things around them, and have reconciled with the differences. I mean, I could be wrong. So this code, again, I think should be a format of study. It gives a different perspective and perception. There, I remember the two words. Of that, instead of things just being very lean here. And only that bias. And I think in the sense that this is where Revan, in a sense, I know I'm going into the expanded universe and I'm kind of going off topic here, but this is where I think in this, the disagreement between Revan and the Jedi. And I don't mean to go off into the expanded universe. I like to stick to pretty factual evidence and reality. However, though, I think this holds validation here. Okay. In the stories, those that are familiar with it, Revan did go off to have his own group and belief of and followers of Revanites. And yes, they leaned more towards darkness in many ways, but not as much as the Sith, not as much as dark side practitioners. Though they did use the dark side a lot, but like the gray Jedi, they never succumbed to it, I would think. But were not afraid of it either. There was a respect for it. And he understood this. And yes, one can be at peace and be happy and have joy and be joyful in one existence, in one plane of thought. On the other side, though, ignoring the other can also bring that ignorance and understanding. So compassion and empathy here. He was a genius in this, and how this was written was there's a sense of genius in it. You know, who was the guy that got his that chopped his ear off? Van Gogh, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he did that out of passion towards his affections towards
A bird.
a what?
A bird.
A bird. Okay. I thought he did it as to show his love for somebody.
Yeah, he was in love with a bird.
He was in love with a bird.
Yeah.
I thought it was a person.
He had schizophrenia.
Oh. Well, that's very true. He did have schizophrenia here. So, okay, carrying on. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, we'll leave that one alone.
But he
He
was an artistic genius.
well, he was,
But
but
very his work was very like he didn't have an appreciation. Well, he didn't think it was worth a lot when he was making it. And now it's in museums all over the world. And there
oh,
was
yeah.
always like a bit of he was painting what he was seeing, but there was a bit of there were sometimes some darker elements added
Well,
to it.
yeah. It was very abstract. And, that would be a topic I would like to go into
Well,
later.
he had synesthesia.
Yeah, we'll go into
So,
all of this later because I want to venture at some point into the neurodivergent mind, okay, which is very prominent in the Jedi community. Little be known, and it's ignored. So we'll go into that later, but let's get back to what we're talking about here. So that carry on to the next line.
Well, we've gone over up to so there without serenity there is no contemplation would be the next line we haven't touched yet.
Oh, without serenity, there is no contemplation. What was the line before that?
Without passion, there is no beauty.
Okay, so without serenity, there is no contemplation. Okay, what is meditation? What is reflection? Serenity, right? Meditation is serenity itself. And when they say meditate and reflect, that's self-examination. Is it not? That's why I think meditation and reflection is valuable. And when we stop and reflect, that is a moment of meditation. We're reviewing, realizing, recognizing. So, oh, I know what your problem is, boy. So really, this code covers many, many aspects. Because without peace and serenity, how can one, as they say, empty their cup? That's a perception, isn't it? That's a perspective. Understanding, knowledge. So, this code, from what I'm gathering, is the becoming more in tune with the human element, with us as a person, the aspects, the variations and contradictions with us as human beings, would you say?
The
Sorry,
inner duality.
I threw some old English into there. Sorry.
It's the inner duality that we all battle.
Yeah, I would say that because we wrestle with that darker, lighter self, right? Our ego. I think in a way, maybe this puts that into check. And it helps one recognize, because without reflection, you don't gain insight. We have to have that if we're in order to grow, to become stronger, to grow in our foundations.
There was a reverend who talked to me today.
Okay.
And he was talking about mindful journaling for reflection.
Okay.
And do you know what he said?
Huh.
He basically was saying, basically, the instructions that you were teaching for self-searching and self-reflection. And that whole self-evaluation thing. But journaling about it.
Okay. Okay. On that. Okay. Do you know where I got that from?
Where?
The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yeah.
The inventory. The moral inventory. The self-searching. Because it coincides with reflection. With discovery, ignorance, and knowledge. It is a more detailed dive into the depths of self-reflection and discovery. And without that, one cannot progress. And some people have said that's self-defeating. It is. On the contrary, when I was his teacher over at the Praxium, a student had said that if you focus on your shortcomings, that becomes depressing. Well, wouldn't you be depressed by your shortcomings if you haven't recognized them? And what holds one back? Which
it depends on whether or not you intend to do something about it.
Exactly. Exactly. So, again,
if you're not intending to do something about it, then you're just focusing on the shortcomings themselves and not what you can learn from them in order to work towards addressing it.
Right.
And turning them into strengths.
Right, right. So our weaknesses are actually our strengths unrefined. And this is where I go into that discovery. Which grants peace. I don't say a lot about it. And though, it's in the community, they're going to balk at me and they try to counter me on this. But I live by very much a gray Jedi perspective, simply because of that's the way I was raised. And that's where I hold myself to that standard. Because, like Revan, Grey Jedi hold themselves to a very high standard of discipline, of who they are, and being very mindful of where they are. Internally, the balance, and this is what Revan is talking about here, the inner balance. He's talking about you can't have one without the other. Passion is what drives a person, okay? The passion to uphold. The balance when it's disturbed. And for those that may be disturbing it. All right. Now, one seeks peace. Always. That is the primary practice. I mean, that's saying this in this code. And I think it's in the Skywalker code that one cannot stay in the dark, but cannot ignore it either. One also has to be nourished by the light, correct?
No, that's a different code.
Okay, well, something into that aspect, there's a code with that in there. That we cannot ignore both. Passion is what drives a person. It's a motive. It's motivation to further themselves. And I know I'm jumping around here on this. There's a lot to take in and a lot to unpack on this code. And we probably may not get to all of it, but I kind of want to touch on it. We'll come back. So there might be a second part to this.
There probably will have to be, because we're getting close to an hour.
Right. And our podcasts have gone over an hour before, which is fine. But I'm going to touch on the gray aspects here a bit. We'll come back to the Revan code. Let's take note of where we're leaving off there, okay?
We're on the last three lines of the Revan code.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and finish them off, and then we'll go over.
Okay. Without the Force, there is no one.
The connection of life. The connection of everything. The relationship. Sorry.
Interdependence?
Sorry. Yeah. Interdependence. Because in the Jedi community, there is a very strong belief in the Force and that connection to all life. It's a basic Druidism. I might get slapped for that one, but it is Druid. The practice of Druidism is that of life.
There were the three aspects of the Force, right?
Yeah.
I was looking at that, and then I was looking at other beliefs that have similar that are basically saying similar things to it.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. See, you've got yourself, you have the personal, the inner, as a person being the vessel, the living, which is everything around, everything that is connected and our relationship to it. And that you have the, some say the universal, the universe, the cosmic, and so forth. So, without the Force, are we actually really, truly alive? Are we actually recognizing how precious life is? You know, I know in Buddhism, and we talk a whole lot about Buddhism, okay? And that's kind of been the main topic for the last several weeks, even maybe a couple of months.
Well, Buddhist philosophy that has in common aspects with Jediism, kind of a thing.
Very much so, in the Tao and the Taoism.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So there's a very close relation, and that there's a flower that
lotus,
the lotus flower, and there's another one, I think.
The lotus flower is the one that grows in mud.
Yeah, and it's like a seasonal, right?
I think it blooms seasonally, but its leaves are year round.
Okay.
It grows in like ponds.
Okay, also there's one that grows on a tree or a vine. Okay, the honeysuckle, for example. Okay, that one comes to mind more easily. The honeysuckle. Have you ever seen a honeysuckle flower?
I don't think so.
Okay. It's, well, it is a very attractive flower. And that, but also within it, if you pull out the center, I forget the name of it, the stipen, whatever, but if you
Yeah.
pull out the center, there is a nectar on the end of it. Hummingbirds love these things. Okay. The nectar has a honey flavor to it, but the flower itself of the honeysuckle is a very light and vibrant yellow. And there's a smell, this odor, this aroma from it. It's refreshing. And you can look at it and you can smell it and you can like experience it. And with it, you kind of go back to it during the winter. The thing looks like a dead, obnoxious vine. It gets all over everything. Okay. It's almost like a weed. It's a vine. So it's going to grow wherever it can, when, however long it can without interruption. If it's not interrupted, you got to keep them at bay. You got to keep them contained, which is an effort and an endeavor in itself. However, though, in the center, it has a white little center to it. The other bloom part of it, the flowering, the flower itself. And it offers a freshness in its scent. And that with when we're connected with the force and we appreciate it and we understand our connection to it, and I'll go back to what I was saying here in a moment, that the appreciation brings a peace. There, when we sit and look at it in a way that kind of also describes peaceful moments when we are at one with the force, it's nourishing to us. It's reassuring. It's confirming. And in some ways, enabling for that sense of its presence. Now, with the honeysuckle and the lotus is a very beautiful flower. And I'm trying to think of this other that I remember in a movie on The Last Samurai, that the
Cherry
emperor,
blossom.
that's it, the cherry blossom, a beautiful flower, very beautiful, very delicate. But isn't that life itself also very delicate? So we're talking about in this code how delicate life is, its value, its appreciation. Now, what's this last two lines?
Without the dark side, there is no ambition.
Yeah. Passion. The drive.
Without the light side, there is no temperance.
Right. The inner balance. The inner balance. Without love, because let's face it, Revan had a person he was involved with. He loved her very much. And he would do stop at nothing to protect her. His passion to protect that. Now, the light side is that of temperance. Xenon, your take. I'm not
well, in regards to, no, in regards to Revan and his wife, yeah, he did have a lot of passion and drive, and I think that could have derailed him, especially with his inner turmoil. But I think with the wife, she was more of an anchor to keep him like centered and not detract from going off the rails, in a sense.
Yeah, his purpose. And that there is always somebody in our lives that does give us that anchor. Okay. And I know that there is a thing on detachment. Okay. But let's not fool ourselves either. There's always something we are attached to. Are we not? With Julie, it's your bonsai, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Xenon, your family, right? Your purpose.
Yep.
Okay. And with me, it's living and making my way, but also these moments. I can go astray, but when I sit down and I do this and I go into instructor mode, which both of you know well, on the other side of it, though, it is an anchor. It brings me back. It grounds. It's the purpose. It's the focus. And I think in this, much like the story of Mara Jade and Luke Skywalker, okay, detachment gets thrown out the window. Because that stirs emotions that one will derive from. When something we care deeply about, whether it be a village, our traditions, ones we love and care about deeply, or the ones we are deeply, intimately involved with, that's going to be a motive. And to protect that darker self, that darkness, the dark side, comes to light. Because one will defend it passionately. And I think that's what this code goes to, is the preventing the extinguishing of life and its recognition and its purpose. After all, what is life? As living beings, what are we? Aren't we precious being that value, something of value. Something that we have privilege to have, and for those around us, gratitude. Without protecting that with a passion, there is no gratitude. And if you don't have gratitude towards it, then you don't hold it in high regards. And it took a while for me to actually realize that, because of my own places I've been and have experienced. However, though, in many ways, I relate to Raven or Revan. And I think in many ways, we all can. We all come from one place, been to another, and then through work, the act of redemption. Whether it be from getting clean, or whether it be from a life of violence, or whether it be from, in a way, shall I say, a contradictory of the medical field, that though it's to preserve life, but also must harm it, and also let things go if need be, whatever's necessary. But also the preservation. And the protection of it and its value. And I thought that maybe this would go on longer, but this would be a great place to stop. But I want to leave with this on this note, and we'll continue this for the next one. Is in the light, or how this code is, and I could be off base on some of it, and what I might have been saying was just kind of open and preaching to the choir, that I like to leave this podcast with a thought, is what is it you hold dear to your heart? What is it you hold closely that's very precious to you, that brings you that peace, that brings you that moment of reflection to it, that grounds you, that helps you realize what your why is? What's its meaning to you? And with that, I'm going to say thank you for all that have joined us, Xenon, Julie, and for your input. So from there, want everybody to have a good day, take care of themselves and everybody else around you, and hold them close. Tal Griffin out. Thank you.